Did you know that until very recently, more people had been to the moon than had dived beyond depths of 6,000 meters? I think about this often. The inhospitableness of certain places. A footprint, once left on the surface of the moon, might in theory remain as it is almost indefinitely, uneroded by atmosphere, by wind, or by rain. Any mark made up there could quite easily last for several centuries. The ocean is different. The ocean covers its tracks. When a submarine descends, a number of things have to happen in a very short span of time. Buoyancy is entirely dictated by water pushing up against an object with a force proportional to the weight of the water that object has displaced. So when a submarine sits at the surface, its ballast tanks are filled with air, rendering its overall density less than that of the surrounding water, and thereby displacing less of it. In order to sink, those ballast tanks have to be filled with water, which is sucked into the vessel by electric pumps as the air is simultaneously forced out. It's a curious act of surrender, when you think about it. The act of going under. To drop below the surface is still to sink. However, intentionally, a simple matter of taking on water just as drowning only requires you to open your mouth. Miri used to call these my sunken thoughts. Tapping on the base of my skull with the flat of her hand when I grew quiet. Frowning at some thought I was chasing in circles. How do they get so far down in there, she'd say. Next thing you know, they'll be halfway down your neck. When she did this, I would often catch her palm and keep it there. Take her other hand and hold it to my temple, as though surrendering the responsibility of keeping my head in one place. It's hard to describe the smell of a submarine when it goes under. Hard to pin down. Something like metal and hot grease. And something like lack of oxygen, ammonia, the smell of all but what's necessary filtered away. 20 minutes before we lost contact, Jelka told me she smelled meat, which was strange because I'd been thinking the same thing. A hot, unsavory waft like something cooked. I remember I looked to my own fingers, half expected to find them roasting, bent to observe the skin on my shins, on my knees, on my ankles. There was nothing, of course, and no reason at all for the smell that seemed to hit us both with such force. When Jelka repeated her claim to Mateo, he told her to hold her nose if she was so bothered and I didn't say anything to back her up. At first it was just the comms panel. The crackle of contact from the surface cutting out and not returning. I remember Mateo frowned and asked me to try to find a signal while he dealt with the main controls. I held down the transmission button and chanted nonsense into the radio, expecting the center to come back online any second and ask me what I was on about. 10 minutes later, when the craft's whole system went offline, it would occur to me that the comms hadn't faded like a wavering signal so much as been switched off, though by that time we all had more pressing things to deal with.